Hello and welcome to the Free Food and Medicine Podcast. We are 2 minutes from calling the Blog Talk Radio. David Ray isn't here yet. I expected him to already be hanging out, but he is not. So in about 1 minute, we will be calling Blog Talk Radio. And we will officially start our podcast. So I'm getting ready now. Our podcast tonight is going to be on Eyebright. So, yeah. Eyebright and castor oil. Because they both are, you know, are good for the eyes. Couldn't find the information in the Free Food and Medicine book, but fortunately I have my prescriptions for herbal healing book. And, of course, Google. So, in 1 minute, we will get this party started. Actually, in 0 minutes. Fire up the laptop. Get my resource information loaded. For whatever reason, that's not working, but oh well. Here we go.
One. Blog Talk Radio.
If you walk outside your door right now and look at the plants around your house, do you have any clue which plants are edible? After a lifetime of research and over 3 years of putting this together, I have created what I believe to be one of the most foundational books for living on planet Earth. Most human beings have lost touch with nature so much they have no clue anymore how to survive on their own. Did you know wild plants are some of the most powerful food and medicine you could ever have? Every living thing on Earth has a purpose, even the toxic plants. You just need to know which purpose they serve. In an emergency, you need to know this. If you want to seriously improve your health, you need to know this. If you have no more money for food or medicine, you need to know this. This is a book no household should be without. This isn't just about plants you might see in a forest somewhere. I'm talking about the begonias in your window, the grass in your yard, the tree on the corner, and the weeds coming through the cracks. Let's take common grass. Did you know you can make tea out of it? That's right. Grass tea is used as a diuretic for kidney stone prevention, urinary inflammation, incontinence, expelling worms, hemorrhoids, skin conditions like rash. It's also used for lung conditions like bronchitis, colds, fever, infections. The roots can be chewed as a licorice-tasting food or made into a flour and are used for digestive and stomach issues. That's right. Yeah, grass. It's insane what people don't know. This weed is one of the most nutritious, delicious greens there is. Even better than spinach. It was used a long time ago by farmers to fatten up their livestock. You probably have 10 different things growing within walking distance of your house right now that are great, healthy, non-caffeine coffee substitutes. Plants that help you quit smoking. Plants that help you lose your desire for alcohol and detox your body while they're at it. What plants are a good substitute for milk or beer or even root beer? What plants make a good perfume? Which ones are good repellents for ants, moths, and mosquitoes? What common weed makes an awesome shampoo and soap? Which plant makes a soap for delicate fabrics that normally can't be washed with harsh chemicals? What's a good plan for bed bugs? This is not just a book for recognizing wild and unknown plants. It's also a dictionary and a health reference guide to all those revolutionary healing herbs you've been hearing so much about and what they're used for. This plant, for example, boosts your sex life so much it's been outlawed in several states. You might not be able to buy it, but it might be growing right there in your neighborhood. Every drug that medicine uses out there was originally made from a plant. Plants can feed you, help heal your health conditions. You can make clothing with them, and you can build your home with them. They can power your electricity and fuel your car. Plants can even protect your home from break-ins. Find out which ones are good for that. It's all in this book, Which Plant is Good for Arguing Couples. This plant has wax to make candles with. Which plant has a bubblegum flavor? What plants are good thickeners for soups and food? What common household flowers are edible? It's time we put everything in one book. All the plants, garden plants, wild plants, potted plants, trees, landscaping, everything. What nuts taste like cheddar cheese when steamed? What common worldwide plant is eaten in India where people have the lowest cancer rates? Sure, wheatgrass is great, but what about crabgrass? What about those amazing and powerful herbs you've heard so much about from South America? Did you know people are growing them in their homes all over the world? When I say edible plants, I mean all plants, because you now have access to all of them everywhere. Geographic region doesn't matter anymore either, because the world is becoming one. People are growing pineapples and goji berries in their own homes, even up north where it's cold. Did you know you can grow kiwis that can handle 30 below zero? I'm about to open up a whole new world for you of unlimited possibilities and put you in charge of having access to any free food and medicine you could ever want, including the most famous healing herbs in the world. I'm empowering you here. You're not just at the mercy of what's randomly growing near you. You now have the power to grow almost anything you want, any plant from anywhere in the world on your property, no matter where you live. It's your life. Start grabbing it by the reins and start doing what you want. That's what I'm here for, is to show you how. Why did I include normal grocery store fruits and vegetables in this book? Because there's lots of wild carrots and grapes and asparagus and stuff growing out there, and most people have no clue what a wild carrot even looks like if they saw one, or mustard. If you saw this growing, would you eat it? You know what this is? It's celery. This, on the other hand, is poison hemlock. You got to know the difference. Most people have no clue. We need to start from scratch. When I say edible plants, I mean all edible plants. What are peely nuts and jackfruit good for? Which super powerful plants are good for fighting sexual diseases? What plant will not burn and makes a great fire barrier around your home? I didn't just create this for you. I created it for me, too. Why buy it when you can grow it for free and have an endless supply of free food and medicine for the rest of your life? This amazing Power Pack book covers over 1,000 plants found all over the world. It shows you which ones are edible, which ones are poisonous, what they're used for. Over 2,500 full color images. This is the ultimate plant and health reference guide. Just as important is the second part of the book, a complete in-depth cross-reference of every health condition you can imagine and what plants have been historically used for those conditions. What plant do you take for nervousness? What plant repairs DNA? What plants are good for anxiety, insomnia? Which ones are good probiotic food? What plants can you make your own soap and toothpaste and shampoo with? What are the best healthy low glycemic sugar substitutes other than stevia? Which ones increase nutrient absorption and athletic performance? How about the performance in the bedroom? Even if you don't want to pick your own plants, at least know what to look for when you go to the health store. This section alone is worth the whole book. Once you start looking at this thing, you're not going to be able to put it down. You'll be amazed at what's out there, growing right outside your door. There's nothing else like this out there. This is a book every person, every household should have. The Free Food and Medicine Worldwide Edible Plant Guide. Get it at freefoodandmedicine.com.
Are you there?
I was muted.
I thought I was by myself there for a second.
You were.
So, trivia. If you're a lily-livered pansy, what should you eat?
The one that tastes like bubblegum.
I have no idea if pansies taste like bubblegum or not, but supposedly, if you eat pansies, it'll make you more assertive.
More assertive?
Yes, therefore pansies are for pansies.
Interesting. Maybe that's where they got that from.
I don't know. It's just, I don't even know if it's true. It's just something I ran across.
So, which ones, while steamed, taste like cheddar cheese?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't run across that one yet.
Me neither. Still looking. So what do you got? Oh, well, first off, what do you got? We're talking about Eyebright today. And there's nothing about Eyebright in the Free Food and Medicine book.
There is.
That I could find.
There is, too. I thought there was. It's a pretty short blurb.
Oh, here it is. That thumbs right to it. I don't know why you didn't see it before. My bad.
Yeah, it was a pretty short blurb. It's good. It told me a little bit more than I knew before. I did find two references on the web, WebMD and off the top of the head, I can't remember the other website, but I have both of them up on my browser.
That's funny. I have WebMD also. I was looking at the same. Go ahead.
Well, you know, they probably came up in the search engine, you know, and I like the WebMD reference because it kind of gives you the typical attitude of the medical community toward these things. All right.
But at the same time, it gives you the medical community's point of reference. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm not going to do anything unless my doctor tells me to. But they'll trust sites like WebMD because it's more modern medicine based, and so you can find some good alternative solutions through WebMD. So I see it as a gateway. I mostly use WebMD to see what herbs and pharmaceuticals conflict with each other. So if, say, somebody comes to me and they want a blend of some sort, and they're on a certain pharmaceutical, that's when I use WebMD primarily to see if certain herbs will conflict with the pharmaceuticals that they're on.
Right. And, of course, you'll have to make a decision whether you don't care or you're glad they conflict, which is a very strong possibility.
At that point, I personally choose not to conflict with their medication because that would be a liability on me. I give the customer the option.
Right. But I'm talking about the person who's actually taking it.
Oh, well, yeah, that's on them.
So if I'm taking it, I might want it to conflict, like the vitamin K. You know, conflicts with blood thinners. Well, but it also helps alleviate the reason why you're taking the blood thinners.
Right. Well, so, it's just like, I think it's black walnut will basically block the absorption of chemicals in the body. Well, we're bombarded with chemicals all the time, so we should all be taking black walnut.
All right. Well, I'm gonna start out with ridicule of WebMD by reading the dosing statement.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There's some good information here, though, but you got to keep in mind that it's from their viewpoint, and they have a certain negativity toward these things. All right. So for dosing. The appropriate dose of Eyebright depends on several factors, such as user's age, health, and several other conditions. At this time, there is not enough scientific information to determine an appropriate range of doses for Eyebrite. Keep in mind that natural products are not always necessarily safe, and dosages can be important. Be sure to follow relevant directions on product labels and consult your pharmacist or physician or other healthcare professional before using. Okay, so basically they're dosing, they're saying, we don't have a clue, but we're going to throw up this general warning to scare you off.
Right, and it says that they're, what is it, natural products are not necessarily safe. They're a lot safer than the pharmaceuticals.
This may be, but I mean, you know, hey, it's not really safe for most people to take hemlock. Okay?
Well,
just saying. Okay?
You got to
know.
So,
and that's, you know, most people who take hemlock are going to die. All right? There may be a case where it's good to take hemlock. I don't know of any. Okay? But, you know, I'm just saying, okay? You know, and so hemlock is a good example of what they're talking about. But they're not talking about hemlock. They're talking about Eyebrite. Okay. So let's see now. Side effects. Eyebrite is possibly safe for most people when taken by mouth. However, when used directly on the eye, Eyebrite is possibly unsafe. It is not recommended. It can be contaminated and cause eye infection. Side effects of Eyebrite tincture includes confusion, headaches, tearing, itching, redness, vision problems, sneezing, nausea, toothache, constipation, cough, trouble breathing, trouble sleeping, insomnia, sweating, and others. It sounds an awful lot like the stuff that they try to give you in the little white tablets. But what they didn't do is they didn't give you sight of the study that told you that it could possibly cause confusion. And this is the only reference I've ever seen it saying that it could cause confusion or headaches. But possibly unsafe is true because it can be contaminated, all right? And that's an important thing to take into consideration. The other site they read that talks about using it for an eye wash very specifically says that you should, you know, if you're going to make an eye wash, you should boil it and make a tea out of it and then run it through a coffee filter in order to get all the solids out of it, all right? If there's some solids in it and you're trying to treat pink eye or conjunctivitis, well, any contaminant, any little bit of grit or whatever is going to be a further source of irritation to the eye. And
right.
I don't know if it was on this site or if it was on another site. I think it was on the other site. It pointed out that if you've had eye surgery of any kind, you know, like laser, you know, the laser surgery where they reshape your eyeball, they remove a cataract, you're wearing contact lenses, which isn't necessarily surgery, but, you know, you wear them on a regular basis. Eyebrite is counterindicated for those conditions, and I'm not sure what Eyebrite does that causes, you know, somebody who's had laser surgery to have a problem. But it is recommended that if you're wearing contact lenses and you do decide to do the eye wash, you should refrain from wearing your contact lenses until you've finished your treatment. And that's not necessarily possible for all people because some people are literally blind without their contact lenses.
Right.
Unless you got your glasses around, which is probably a good idea. I mean, if you got conjunctivitis, you really got no business wearing contact lenses in the first place.
True.
Right. You know, because Because conjunctivitis is often caused by eye irritation, and I'm pretty sure a contact lens would be very irritating.
Oh, they are.
Okay. Let's see. I'm just looking through here.
Well, I can see why, if you've had eye surgery, that taking herbs that will correct your vision would be a problem, because it would cause your surgery to not be as effective. Because,
yeah, it might reverse it, but yeah.
Well, what they do when, a lot of times anyways, when you have surgery to correct your vision, they're actually placing like a contact lens on your eye and surgically implanting it. So they're not,
yes,
really,
but it's a contact lens made out of your own flesh.
Oh,
usually.
I thought it was made out of something else.
Yeah, when they do the laser surgery or you know, when they do the laser surgery, they literally reduce the amount of flesh you have so your eye collapses down, or they'll very carefully slice off the top of the lens of your eye and then take it and freeze it and then run it on a very specialized lathe to shape it precisely and then thaw it out and tack her back on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds creepy.
My ex had that done, and within a year, her eyes were bad again. Oh, no.
I know somebody else who had it done. Not the exact procedure, but his eyes were good for about a decade or so, and then he started having problems.
Okay. Now, I'm looking at a site called verywellhealth.com. And they actually had a lot more information on there. They explained why Eyebright is so good for your eyes in the first place, because it really does nourish the eye. It doesn't. I was under the impression that what it did is it opens up the blood vessels, which it does. All right? And that's what gives me instant improved eyes, because, you know, when I read these little white screens that are bright, I tend to start seeing double, and I haven't quite identified what causes that, and I've gone through several things, you know, because cataracts can cause that condition. I've ruled that out. Detached retina can cause that condition. I've ruled that out because I've had this condition since, before I was a teenager. I can literally see double with one eye, especially if I've been reading for a long time. So there's like a half a dozen conditions that can cause that, and I pretty well ruled out two of them, but Eyebright makes it go away immediately. I take some Eyebright and not quite immediately, but you know, within a half an hour it's gone. It usually clears up my vision that quickly. All right, so whatever it is, it's nutritionally based. Okay. Now, yeah, it was this article that spoke about, the article on Very Well Health explained why contaminated Eyebright wash could be a problem. And it also speaks about you shouldn't use it if you've had cataract removal or laser surgery on your eyes, that kind of
what
stuff.
What about...
Because what will happen is... castor oil is good for removing cataracts without surgery. And if you're looking at getting...
surgery?
I don't know if it helped then. I think what it does is it I'm not sure exactly what a cataract is, but basically it seems to me it's a hardening of the flesh on the eyeball, and the cataract, the castor oil softens it until it dissolves. Calcium, okay.
Yeah, calcium. That's what I understand. I got to look it up again.
All right. I'm trying to find the specific reference in here about... Anyway, saying if you've had eye surgery, the eyebright will actually cause the infection to be worse. But if you haven't had surgery on your eyes of any kind, they did this study, I think it was like 85 people. Oh, here it is. I found the study. 65 people in this study. 53 of them completely recovered from, they took 65 people with conjunctivitis and treated them with eye drops. And it contained
castor oil or eyebright?
Eyebright, 10 grams of eyebright.
Okay. Okay.
All right. And they did follow-up examinations performed 7 days and 14 days after the start of treatment. A complete recovery was seen in 53 of the patients, so that leaves 12. An additional 11 patients showed clear improvement. Okay. One patient, the conjunctivitis actually worsened. Okay. So one out of 65 had a negative result. Okay. Now that's significant, but that's still a low percentage. All
right. Right. So if the eyebright doesn't work, then castor oil might be the solution.
I don't know if castor oil will help in conjunctivitis at all.
Okay.
Pink eye. Conjunctivitis is pink eye. All right.
Okay.
The eyebright is a traditional cure for pink eye.
Let's see here. According to prescriptions for herbal healing, bilberry, eyebright, mullein, hawthorn, and raspberry leaf is good for pink eye and bloodshot eyes.
Do they suggest it as an eye wash or eating it directly?
Eating it directly.
Okay. Yeah, because when I had conjunctivitis back when I was over on George and Valerie's place, I ate eyebright, and it helped clear it up quickly. But I suspect that had I used it as an eye wash, it would have cleared it up quicker. Let's see.
Yeah, eyebright's good for other things, too, besides your eyes. It's also good for colds, like sore throats, sinus
infections,
hay fever. It's good for itchy and watery eyes, hay fever, coughs, congestion, sinus problems, cold, sore throats, earaches and headaches. The whole plant is edible. And what I thought was cool is it looks like henbit, but instead of purple flowers, it's got a light purple, almost pinkish white flowers.
Right, and I wasn't able to confirm whether it's a member of the mint family or not. The flower looks a lot like it's in the mint family. But I was able to find out that this herb is actually a parasitic herb. Apparently plants in its family either produce no chloroform or don't produce enough chloroform or chlorophyll, the green stuff in your leaves that help them convert sunlight into energy. All right. I mispronounced
chlorophyll.
It once. Chlorophyll. Chloroform is the stuff you put on somebody's face in order to make them fall asleep.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, chlorophyll.
Good stuff.
Yeah. No. Chlorophyll. Okay. Anyway, apparently it doesn't produce enough or it doesn't produce any at all. And therefore, it has to tap into the roots of other plants to get those nutrients that it needs because it doesn't produce them itself.
90 seconds.
Oh my, we're almost out of time. Okay, let me see if I can read through this real quick, because there's a list of nutrients that's in this.
Okay, real quick.
Oh boy, wow, that has to be really quick. Contains vitamin A.
As soon as this is over, once I get it uploaded, you can go to freefoodandmedicine.org to hear the rest of the story when we run out of time. Go ahead.
You know what? I will read it after that. Okay. But
okay.
Yes, you were
seconds.
Go ahead and give the close of this, and we'll continue later.
All right. Yeah, we got 60 seconds. So, yeah, go to freefoodandmedicine.com for Marcus Rothkranz, or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it. And we're working on a site called freefoodandmedicine.org, where we have a blog, a video site, and the full version of this podcast will be there as well. And you can just go there and hear the rest of the story. And also find the number to call in besides the Blog Talk Radio number.
And thank you for reminding me that we have additional podcast time.
That's true. We got another 30 minutes. So
10 seconds.
All right.
All right,
we'll
folks.
Talk to you on the other side.
Yeah. Well.
Okay, we are on the other side.
There we go. Yeah, you were saying that okay, the list I'm looking at, allergies, colds, coughs, earaches, headaches, sinusitis. I'm not sure exactly what that is. I assume it's an infection in the sinuses, but I'm not sure. Sore throat. So basically anything you'd go to your eyes, ears, and throat doctor for, this stuff's good for.
Right.
Okay. Because, you know, those things tend to interact with each other because they have close connection for one reason or another. Your tear ducts flow down into your sinuses, and your sinuses affects your throat and such. And this seems to help that whole area. And I think it's interesting that Very Well Health says it's good for headaches, and WebMD says it might cause headaches. So I don't know.
Well, maybe in 1% of people it might cause headaches.
Well, it could be, it might have to do with the preparation, because in one of these two sites I read that they were talking about the preparation might be done in such a way that there's a contaminant that would actually cause adverse effects. All right.
Well,
so,
and on WebMD it says it's good for allergies, hay fever, common cold, bronchial conditions, inflamed sinuses. It's also been used to treat cancer, coughs, pink eye, conjunctivitis, earaches, epilepsy, headaches.
Okay, so they say that it's good for headaches and it can cause headaches.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, also, well, you know.
It's also good for, I guess, hoarseness. H-O-A-R-S-E-N-E-S-S.
When you lose your voice.
Okay. Inflammation, jaundice, runny nose, skin ailments, and sore throat.
Yeah. And they're saying there's no scientific evidence, and yet Very Well Health cites a couple different studies where it's been demonstrated it is effective. So, I mean, it's relatively small studies, but, you know.
Yeah, it also says it's good for eye fatigue, inflammation of the blood vessels, eyelids, and inflamed eyes.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, so here's the nutrients that's in it. I'm going to read Okay, eye-bright contains vitamin A, B vitamins, thiamine and riboflavin, vitamin C and E, which all have eye-nourishing properties. The vitamin B1 thiamine found in eye-bright is crucial for intercellular eye metabolism. It also contains zinc, selenium, and copper, which help contribute to healthy retina and lenses, and rutin. It contains rutin, which offers nutritional support to the eyes.
Also, lutein is good for the eyes, too.
Lutein, L-U-T-I-N?
Yeah, like gluten, like rutin, but lutein.
Okay, yeah, because this is R-U-T-I-N, rutin. And so rutin, lutein. All right. And if you speak Japanese, both of those would be pronounced the same.
Probably.
That could create some confusion.
It says here, too, on WebMD that eye-bright was used in British herbal tobacco and smoked for ongoing lung conditions and cold.
Oh, yeah.
So you can put that in with Molin. Molin's good for the eyes and good for the lungs. Apparently, so is eye-bright. So you can smoke both of them together and clean out your lungs.
And I think it's fascinating the WebMD even mentioned that.
Right?
But I'm glad I found the article. Because between these two articles, I was able to piece some things together.
Yeah. Oh, another thing, too. This isn't for eye-bright, but let's see here. We know somebody who has bags beneath their eyes. Siberian ginseng is good for that. Somebody has blurred vision. Black cohosh and yarrow is good for that.
Yarrow.
Yarrow.
We have a friend who did some experiments with yarrow recently. And while this doesn't have much to do with the eyes or lungs, she's been picking yarrow and drying it out, and then she took that yarrow, that dried yarrow, and she made a tea, a wash out of it, and she's been applying it to her chigger bites.
Oh, okay.
She says it completely takes out all the itchiness, better than. And she was trying. She told me what it is. I think it was one of these pharmaceutical things you can buy over the counter. It did a better job than was it? Is it not Benadryl? What's that spray stuff you spray on scratches and abrasions?
I have no idea. Neosporin.
I think so.
That's all usually right. A cream, though.
Well, yeah, okay. I'm used to the stuff that comes as a spray. You can spray it right on a wound, not a bleeding wound, but on, you know, like if the kid slid across the pavement and didn't actually cut his leg, but you know, there's an abrasion, right? Where there's
right.
You know, the blood is slowly weeping out, so it's very red, but not actually bleeding. All right. Well, you know. There's that stuff that moms typically spray on that. She's saying that this was more effective.
She makes a yarrow tea out of it?
She makes a yarrow tea out of the powder and then basically washes the chigger wounds with it. We'll have to talk to her specifically. I'll refrain from mentioning her name because I don't have permission to say who she is. And
of
plus,
course.
I may be partially misquoting her. So,
right. That's okay.
I got the gist of it, but yeah, she made a tea of that, and I suggested another thing she's going to experiment with also is making an oil out of it by taking the fresh herb and putting it in either coconut oil or she'd use coconut oil, But an article I read on another thing suggests taking herbs and putting them in extra virgin olive oil and then simmering them in the oil. In other words, you know, just bringing the heat up to enough where you see that small little stream of bubbles coming off of the herbs. All right?
Under 110 degrees.
Under 110 degrees? Okay.
Yeah, you do not want to cook it. You don't want to cook it over 110 degrees or you kill it.
Well, okay. I don't know if that's what they meant in particular, but that sounds like good advice. All right. You were to do it until they're crispy, until the herbs are crispy. And according to that article, it took about 1 to 2 hours to achieve that. And then you strain out all of the solids. And my thoughts were take the solids and grind them up and put them into your food. You know, but but anyway, you keep the oil. You keep the oil and the original article was for a poison ivy treatment, and it was burdock. I think it was burdock, yarrow, and comfrey. No, not yarrow. Not yarrow. Burdock, comfrey, plantain. Yes, plantain. Okay. And that was for poison ivy. But my thoughts were do a cup of yarrow and see if this would be an anti-itch cream for bug bites and chiggers and things like that.
Yeah, we have a friend who got poison ivy from our land, and I had her put
yarrow.
Plantain.
You had her put plantain.
And
what else
worked better than the poison ivy cream?
Yes. You had her add something else to the plantain, though, didn't you?
No, it's just the tincture.
Just the plantain. Okay.
Yep. Just the plantain tincture. That was it. Nothing special.
Right. So.
It was just like. An idea, because I knew it was good at sucking the poisons out of the skin from bug bites, and so I assumed it would do the same for poison ivy, and I assumed right.
Right. Aloe vera draws poisons. Cactus. Your prickly pear cactus. I saw a video where this guy was using 2 pumice stones to very carefully rub all the needles and the little fine hairs off of one of the leaves of a prickly pear cactus, and then he'd take that leaf that he'd carefully removed the needles from, fillet it, and inside there's basically 5 layers. There's 2 layers of this network of it's almost like branches inside the leaf, and it's what gives the leaf its structure and skeletal support. And on the outside of that is gel, and between them is gel. So it's gel, branches, and then more gel, and then it's all surrounded by the skin. All right, so he'll flay it, and he'll scrape off all the gel out of the middle and very carefully remove those branches and then scrape the rest out from the skin. And he applies that resulting gel to, you know, if you got, like I've got these sebaceous cysts, I want to try this treatment on me, except I'm a little bit loath to do it because I'm basically camping. And so if I put anything goopy like that on my head, I'm going to have a hard time washing it out. Anyway, but eventually I want to try that and see if I can draw whatever's in the cysts that's causing me to have them, because I suspect it's poison, all right? You know, at the very least, it's some sort of virus or bacteria that the body's trying to sequester, and I want to see if I can draw it out with the cactus pulp. And plantain draws out poisons. I assume
bark.
White what now?
White oak bark.
White oak bark. I wouldn't know the difference between a white oak and a black oak if I saw the two side by side.
Yeah, but you can get the herb and... Yeah, but foraging in the wild, yeah, you'd have to be able to identify this here.
Yeah, because I've got friends who point out, oh, that's a bur oak. And the only way I can tell a bur oak from any other oak is bur oaks tend to be all kind of twisted and broken around here and typically hollow. Because apparently this isn't quite the right climate for bur oak.
Isn't Baroque like a classical music person?
Yes, if you want to very carefully or very uncarefully blend those two words together, yes, you end up with Baroque, and it's a form of music, very nice form of music, good for studying with.
Okay, so back to the eyebright.
Yes. Yeah, you're saying about lungs and such. It's talking about allergies. One of the studies, eyebright is composed of 50% tannins, right? Which are astringent chemicals, which reduce the secretion of mucus and can improve the firmness of tissues and relieve irritation. Oh boy, I can't pronounce this one. I'm going to spell it and I'm going to attempt to pronounce it. So, you know, bear with me. Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. Quercetin? Quercetin? I don't know. I'm sure I murdered it. Anyway, a flavonoid found in eyebright inhibits the release of histamines. Okay. So that'd be your hay fever problems, and mucus would be, you know, congestion. Let's see. The presence of these phytochemicals gives support to the idea that eyebright may also be helpful in to help to relieve allergy symptoms. So it extends beyond. You know, eyes, nose, and throat. It goes down to the lungs as well. So,
there you go. Yeah, allergies. Everybody's got allergies from one degree to another, including me.
That's, you know, this also goes into possible side effects. The side effects of eyebright are not well documented. However, eyebright drops may be harmful to certain people, including those who wear contacts or those who have had cataract removal, corneal transplants, laser eye surgery, or other eye procedures.
Yeah.
Some products may... Go ahead.
I'd probably stick with the castor oil if you've had eye surgery, as far as eye drops go.
I know it's good for if you have a cataract. Because, you know, if you've got a cataract and you're going to go in for surgery sometime in the next month, heck, if you're going to go into surgery the next day, I'd still put some... Well, maybe not the next day, but, you know, in the very near future, I'd still go and get some castor oil, look for the stuff that says it's pharmaceutical grade, because then it's been pure, it's been filtered, it's pure, okay? It's got no contaminants in it, all right? And just drop that in your eye before you go to sleep, you know, because you're not going to be able to read, you're not going to be able to watch television, nothing. I mean, your eyes are going to be too blurry from the castor oil. All right?
Right.
It certainly won't hurt your eyes. But you have a chance of softening up those cataracts and possibly even getting them to let loose without surgery. And, you know, if you've got a whole month ahead of you, you could probably have those things gone before the surgery. And
then you won't need
just,
the surgery.
Then you won't need the surgery. And just like my mom's doctor was disappointed that he didn't get to do knee surgery on her because she was taking rejuvenation tea and her knees got better. I look
right.
forward to lots of people disappointing their eye surgeons by not having cataracts when they show up for the surgery.
Well, yeah, I got a friend who's been just taking thistle root, not taking the other things that I suggested she took. She's just been taking thistle root and I think one other herb. And she's disappointed her doctor because her liver has improved in health and he can't do whatever it is that he wants to do. She's a nurse. So she knows.
There you go. And, okay,
exactly.
So it went on. The next paragraph explains why it might be counterindicated for those conditions. It says some products may be contaminated with harmful chemicals and lead to infection if applied directly to the eyes. Individuals should consult a physician prior to using eye-bright drops. And that's their default statement. I mean, you should, you know, if you're not sure about this stuff, then you should seek advice from somebody you trust, really trust.
Sure.
Not your neighbor who or us who keep spouting the wonders of all this stuff. You know, if you're still seeing doctors and stuff because you trust doctors, then you should go ask a doctor. And if you really want to do this and your doctor's telling you no, then maybe you should present your doctor with appropriate articles and it might be that your doctor's balking on it because he's taught in medical school that these things are bad. You know,
right.
All herbs are bad. You know, they do teach them those things sometimes, you know. And so, you know, you go in and you show them appropriate articles. And quite frankly, all the medicine they ever gave you, 99% of it was originally extracted from some plant. All right. Oops. I think I lost Kano. Well, we got 9 minutes to go. Maybe he'll call back in before we get done. But, you know, the pharmaceuticals that they give you was originally extracted from some plant, for the most part. All right. There's a few of them that were produced artificially, completely. And, you know, they don't have any quote-unquote natural source. But most of them were originally extracted from plants, and what they did is they segregated the chemical so that all the supporting nutrients are no longer with it. And so of course, you get all these side effects because some of these pharmaceuticals they give you, they need those supporting chemicals and so to work. And so when you take them, it ends up depleting your body of those nutrients that it needs in order to do its job because it literally grabs it from the body to accomplish its job. And so, you know, in the end, you have to supplement the things that were taken out anyway. So why not just take it in its natural form, namely from an herb? So let's see now. Ah, there he is. Wow, I actually finished my little commentary just in time for you to go ding. Are you there, or am I only imagining it?
It's just your imagination.
Just my imagination.
It's just your imagination. Running away from you.
How do you do an eye wash with Eye-Bright?
That's a good question. I feel more comfortable with castor oil myself, but
well,
that's me.
I'll have to do some more research. I can't speak to that. I'll just have to do some more research on castor oil. I know what I've read about it, and I, you know, I'll pretty well stick with that until I've done more research.
Well,
it seems
to
me
experience with the castor oil too.
Yeah, it has helped me. I did castor oil when I was trying to determine whether I had I can't say it. I just read about it several times.
Glaucoma?
Yeah, glaucoma. I was trying to rule that out, and the castor oil actually cleared up my double vision. So I guess it did provide nutrient to the eye. But I still came to the conclusion that it wasn't glaucoma that I was suffering from, because it would come and go, and I don't think glaucoma comes and goes. I don't think it's glaucoma. What was it? They mentioned it earlier.
Syphilis?
No. They were saying conditions under which you shouldn't.
I know.
They're talking about this. Cataracts. I was trying to rule out cataracts.
Oh, cataracts.
Cataracts, yeah. Because castor oil will dissolve your cataracts.
Right.
All right. glaucoma, what's that caused from? Somebody I talked to recently. Oh, somebody's talking to, what's it called when your eyes bulge out?
Oh, I'm not sure.
They told me that their eyes were bulging out because they didn't have a thyroid anymore.
Really? I never heard of that. But I have seen where people had that problem.
Right. Yeah, she had an infected thyroid, and so they gave her radioactive iodine to burn it out. So she had no thyroid anymore. And one of the common effects of not having a thyroid anymore is this condition where your eyes bulge out of your face.
Hmm.
Apparently, your thyroid produces some important nutrients for your eyeballs.
Hold your eyeballs in.
Well, yeah, hold your eyeballs in.
Yeah, that's why everybody looks at me funny.
You got no thyroid?
No, I'm just kidding.
Or you got an overactive thyroid and your eyeballs are sunken back in the back of your skull.
Actually, that's more probably the case.
Yeah. That's, you know, what was it? Okay, so, yeah. Okay, so how do I use an eye wash of Eyebright? Drop a sufficient dose of tincture into a cup of sterile water. If using bulk powder, you can let it steep for 15 minutes in hot water and then strain the mixture using a coffee filter. When the water is at a comfortable temperature, pour the mixture into an eye cup. Tilt your head back and pour the Eyebright wash into the eye to rinse. All right, so these eye cups, they're about the size of a shot glass, and they're oval shaped on top, so it fits nicely over your eyeball. And basically, you put whatever wash you're going to put into that cup, and you look, and you have to look down, and you press the eye cup against your eye, and then you tip your head back while the cup is still pressed against your eye, and whatever fluid's in the cup washes against your eye. And I suppose if you're good at it, you could hold the cup in place while you shook your head and really give your eye a good washing. And yeah, I bought one of those cups. I just haven't gotten around to using it, so I don't have personal experience on using the cup. I was thinking about using it for applying castor oil, but when you use castor oil to dissolve cataracts, you're only doing two or three drops from an eyedropper. And you can do it yourself, but it's kind of best if you hold your eyelids open with your hands while somebody else puts the drops in your eyes. Because I tend to miss, and I got all this oily stuff on my eyelids. You know?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's annoying. It's bad enough you got the stuff in your eye. You know, it's you know, when it's all over the place, it means you have to do it again.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I guess there's nothing wrong with that. You know, but another reason to have somebody else do it for you is because when you're doing it yourself, you've got this open bottle of castor oil, and you've got an eyedropper, and you've got to put the cap, you got to put the eyedropper someplace where it's not getting oil all over stuff, and you've got to put the cap back on the castor oil
and you can't
while you're effectively blind, and laying on your back looking straight up at the ceiling. All right, so it's really handy to have somebody help you. You can do it by yourself. I know it can be done by yourself because I've done it. But I would have really have appreciated some help.
What's the fun in that?
I don't know. You got anything else to say? It's 11 o'clock already.
Yeah, I'm still working on the website, but go to freefoodandmedicine.org and check out our blog, our video page, our Discord, and, of course, the podcast.
Yep.
And go to freefoodandmedicine.com for Marcus Rothkranz or freefoodandmedicine.net if you want to give me credit for it.
There you go.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Bada boom, bada bing.
Oh. And call in next time and put in your 3 cents.
Yes, please. Put in your 1 cent if that's all you can afford.
Yeah, Uncle Sam took the other two.
Yeah, there's actually a lot more in these two articles to read. I wish I could have covered it all. Verywellhealth.com and webmd.com. Both of them have lots of good articles. I found both by just doing a Google search. Matter of fact, I think both pretty much came up. They're like the top three.
Cool.
I tried to get to the Wikipedia article, but for one reason or another, Google didn't give a direct link to it. Just gave some quotes from it, and that was it. So I wasn't really able to get over there to that site, but it mostly is talking about the plant itself and not its health benefits. So, anyway, I look forward to talking to you all again next week.
So. All right, yeah. We'll see you next week.
All right. Good night, all.
All right. Good night.